Thank you for joining us on EZ's Community Focus, taking a look at the issues that matter in South Florida and the people and organizations that are making a difference. I'm Ellen Jaffe. My guests today have a great deal of information about a phenomenon that has become more and more common over time, and this is the combination of violence against children, violence against women, bullying, this whole realm of personal and interpersonal violence. And they do a tremendous amount of work in our community to help not only prevent the violence, but to help people deal with a situation where they are faced with a confrontation. From EICMO, this is the American-Israeli Krav Maga organization. The founders of EICMO are both here. I'm very happy to welcome Rick Side and Steve Becerra. Thanks so much, Ellen.
Thank you for having us.
You've been doing this for a number of years, well, decades, really, with experience, the developer of Fighting Chance programs, and I guess that's evolved into EICMO?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, I started out teaching Krav Maga about 20 years ago. I was one of about 20, 25 instructors through the country, and about 18 of them were out in Los Angeles. So I was pretty much a lone wolf in this area. And essentially what I love about it, it's easy to learn, practical, realistic, not a lot of high fancy karate moves. It teaches the average person to become really power to themselves in a very short period of time, and in essence brings an average person to a high level of proficiency against almost any type of conflict in the shortest period of time.
And what's the difference between Krav Maga and just a typical self-defense program?
Well, I would definitely say that we've seen it time and time again. Anyone who's had their child in a peewee karate class or taekwondo class, not to put down those systems, of course, but our focus is not on competitive fighting. We, if you look at our schools, we have two locations, one in Coral Springs and one in Sunrise. There are no trophies on that wall. There are no medals on that wall. We do not care for competitive fighting or how many kata a child can memorize, or the sound of one hand clapping. The entire purpose of what we do is to empower that individual, whether they're a child at school, an independent woman, a law enforcement officer, a military personnel, the average Joe on the street. It's very important that people understand that what Krav Maga does is not martial arts. It could not be more diametrically opposed. If splits and straddles made people dangerous, then every cheerleader in America would be a ninja, and I'm afraid that that's simply not the case. So we are a million miles away from the Ninja Turtle, Kung Fu Panda type thing. We want people to walk into that center and be able to walk out that very first day making smarter choices about their own safety and being able to handle whatever comes their way in the real world. We're going to give them the exact same training we give the Israeli military.
So your teaching, is it both mental and physical education?
I think you can say that the empowerment in itself will affect the mind. It'll make you stronger, build self-esteem, and be able to give you clear thinking. Because the tactical responses really are innate, they come out of you instinctively, you don't have to take a long time to learn. So you're very well empowered. Even the first day you walk out, you might do a gun defense. You might do a defense against a knife, something that is life-threatening, that not only makes you feel good that you have that knowledge, but also mentally gives you a broader look to be able to respond effectively without hesitation. So that in itself is a very powerful mind. It'll help you the way you carry yourself in life, the way you walk to your car. If you're a woman, you walk a little stronger. Let that predator think about the next person because you look like a stronger target that they don't want to engage with.
That's absolutely true. You want to de-victimize the practitioner.
Okay.
This is about removing the victim mentality. This is not life happens to me. This is me being proactive in my safety. This is me knowing that when I walk out there, I have the fighting spirit to do what is necessary to survive and to get home safe to my family.
Okay. Can you be specific about maybe one technique that you learned just so I can differentiate between someone going in and learning, oh, okay, I'm just going to stand up strong and walk along and not knowing what to do, you know?
Well, a lot of what we do, Ellen, is teaching you not to recognize the problem, but just go quickly to your solution. I'll give you an example. Through every martial arts school, not just in this country, but also throughout the world, they teach what's called a wrist release. Now, those of you that are listening or have taken their kids to Taekwondo or anything else, and again, this is no knock on other systems, but someone grabs your wrist and they teach you to twist your arm out. Well,
okay.
Good luck. If you have a 250-pound guy grabbing your wrist and you weigh 120 or you're a child, it's not going to work. Right away, you've built in a sense of defeat. We want to remove that, give you alternatives. Him grabbing, he or she grabbing your wrist is inconsequential for me to make a move right at that moment. Just give a kick to the shin, a kick to the groin. Why focus on the problem? We have solutions. So this is one type of situation. It's very difficult sometimes to describe exact techniques to those that haven't participated. I would recommend that maybe someone come for a free trial class to see how anybody can do what we teach, anybody, because it comes out of your natural instinctive responses. You don't have to do anything that's fancy. You're going to be directing your responses.
Right, the key words there are practicality and pragmatism. I don't want people to do what they watch on, you know, cartoons or films. They're in Krav Maga. There's no jumping, flipping, monkey kick into cockroach stance. There's nothing like this.
We're not going to climb up a wall and go
absolutely
backwards into
not.
A somersault.
It's fun to watch. I'm a huge fan of all these martial arts films. But the truth is, it is incumbent upon us as Krav Maga instructors. We have an ethical mandate to make sure when you walk into our center, you're not doing it for the glory of our school. You're doing it because you have a family that loves you and wants you home in one piece and time for dinner.
Okay.
So everything has to be practical and effective. Movements that everybody can do regardless of size or strength level.
Well, there's one particular thing that Rick had told me about going back a couple of years. And Steve, I understand you're the one who specializes in the kids' classes, where if kids walking with a backpack, to use that backpack as an offensive technique.
Absolutely.
Can you just because that made it so clear about how you're using just everyday things to get you, again, out of a difficult situation and move forward to your solution.
And you're 100% right. We try and employ anything that we might be able to carry because as a weapon, just as well as any part of your body can be used as a weapon, whether it be a head for a headbutt, a fist for a punch, fingers to be able to dig and rip and tear, whatever the case may be. I don't mean to get graphic, but listen, we don't teach you to play by the rules. We teach you to get home safe at all costs and all means. That being said, we utilize the backpack not so much as a weapon to hurt somebody, but immediately, first of all, you can run a lot faster with a backpack off your body. That's number one. And running away is just as much a part of defending yourself physically. Getting home safe is the key and critical element here. But where a child, most kids today, almost every child has a backpack on. So we want to utilize that. So we take that off. We put it in front of us at the first moment that we think that there may be an encounter of a hostile nature. We teach them to throw it at the face, not the body, at the face. This accomplishes two things. It preoccupies their hands because everybody instinctively brings their hands up to protect their face. It also blocks the vision for a brief moment. So if their line of safety is to run past them, their hands are now preoccupied, or they can get 4 or 5 steps behind. If they need to add an additional strike to get an extra few steps, when they're grabbing that backpack, we kick to a very tender spot to be able to give us those extra few seconds, and steps to get to a safe place. For women, it can be a purse. Now, people say, well, what if I have my wallet in or this, that, and the other? If you feel you're going into an uncomfortable situation, a lot of it deals with common sense. Take your valuables out, put them in your pocket or put them in another bag so you know now at least you have something that you can use. And so a purse can be, or any object that you're carrying, a grocery bag, it can be whatever it may be. You throw at the face and start to attack a tender area to give you a line of safety to get away, to stun and run. We're not interested in a woman who's 110, 130, 140 pounds, whatever the case may be. You pick the number facing a guy 250 pounds. You're not going to outslug him, but you can hurt them quickly and stun and run.
What are some of the situations and the things that someone can look for to be alerted that they might be in danger, and so that they can distinguish between a really dangerous situation and, you know, just hitting some creepy person who might have, you know, the wrong sense of boundaries in space?
That's interesting that you mentioned that. We believe that training starts early. We had an observer come to our Krav Maga class. They'd never heard of it. They didn't know that it's, you know, what's done in the Israeli military. They'd never seen a kids' Krav Maga class. We had someone sit and watch as 4, 5, and 6-year-olds were staring at a picture of a playground with a happy sun and singing trees and kids on swing sets. And they were staring at it. The guy was expecting punches to the air and ki eyes and shouting and white pajamas. And a little girl raised her hand and said, you know, Mr. Steve, I found it. She, you know, through all the color, noticed that there was a man way in the background in a parked car staring at the kids through binoculars. So the little girl was able to look at all these pretty colors and still be able to identify what is out of place. We teach this to children. Kids are smart enough to understand when they listen to that little voice and something is not quite right. So in answer specifically to your question about situations, we have a student, without naming names, who was unfortunately a victim of assault. As they were walking to a parking through a parking structure, they sensed that someone was behind them. But they didn't react. They didn't turn to confront him. They didn't duck in somewhere. They didn't run. They didn't shout. They were so afraid of being embarrassed on the off chance that this person was just, you know, it just happened to be heading their same general direction, that they just let it happen. Our advice would be, look, if you feel something is out of place, please be proactive. If you make a fool of yourself for a second because it turns out that the guy was just walking in your same direction, so be it. You look silly for 2 seconds in the eyes of a stranger you don't know.
Right.
The important point that Steve just mentioned, if I can just piggyback on that briefly, because this is really a tip for women. Not just women, anybody. But when you're out shopping, you have a friend with you, there's an extra set of eyes. So, and usually you become less of a target. But if you're by yourself and you've got to go with that gut feeling, you've got to go with that radar. And if you're in a parking lot, and kind of along the lines of what Steve said, we don't want you to cower your head, hope they'll go away, and all of a sudden you're up against your car and you've got somebody right on top of you. If you feel you've got 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet behind you, you turn around and say, hey, are you following me? Now, this does two things. It either makes that person at that point in time, like a cockroach, when the light turned on, turn and run away. Or if he keeps on coming, you've got 10, 15 feet to be able to prepare. Use your voice as a weapon to scream. Get ready to fight back. Get ready to use anything in your means to be able to defend yourself.
Okay, so it's all about preventing abduction and assault.
Absolutely.
Now, does this hold with bullying as well, say, on a school campus?
Well, absolutely. You see, for kids, even for adults, there can be no Krav Maga without verbal Krav Maga. You know, this is absolutely essential. A child, your average 8-year-old, cannot kick and punch their way out of every situation in school. Because if you're being accosted by peers verbally, you're being ostracized by your peers, if you are experiencing a situation where someone is picking on you online, the solution might not be kicking and punching straight away. We can't teach our kids that 20 punches to the ear solves all their ills at school.
Right.
Kids must be taught an actual system of responses and resilience and verbal tactics to de-escalate a violent situation, to find conflict resolution through verbal means. But you know, the key to Krav Maga, just as it is with physical Krav Maga, is build resilience. The EICMO child is a resilient child. If you look at a child come to you and say, Mom, nobody wants to play with me, what that child is basically saying is, hey, adult, do your job. Find friends for me.
Right.
That child is disempowered. That child is not resilient. When a child approaches and says, they called me a bad name, that child is basically saying, I have no tools to deal with this.
Right.
Someone please teach me what to do. And we are doing that. We're teaching them concepts like their bully bubble, steps 1 through 5 of verbal de-escalation. These are kids who love the role-playing exercises. And it's very much self-defense. We're just not resorting to kicking and punching straight away. We're teaching them intelligent responses and that they have a choice as to how they feel. I simply choose not to let what you're saying to me ruin my day.
Right. You know, adults need this too.
Yes. Absolutely.
In life, in relationships, in the workplace, these are all really valuable skills.
Well, you work right by I-95. If you've driven on I-95, I'm sure that you've seen that people lack resilience and verbal conflict resolution skills.
I really want to make that point clear. Everything we're talking about, the things that we teach kids, women, goes equally for men and teenage boys because you know, bullying especially, we engaged in this a couple years ago, this program, and developing this, which we think is going to be state-of-the-art and one that's going to be copied nationwide. Because as Steve said, it's not just about fighting. That's the easy part to teach people. The problem is the name-calling, the self-esteem. A bullied child or a bullied person, because it happens in the workplace every day. Mm-hmm. But somebody that's bullied this can lead to things that we're starting to see in the newspapers,
yeah.
suicides, self-mutilation, all kinds of problems that our society is starting to face because
and
we're not
young
dealing.
And people, younger and
young
younger.
People, listen,
right.
kids in middle school and at any age, kids at any age should be thinking about where they're going to the next party, who they're calling up their friend instead of thinking about taking their lives.
Right.
So we're also going to be looking to broaden our training into other areas as well to be able to combat not just the personal safety side of things, but also other things that are affecting our society in a dramatic way. We have big announcements coming out shortly.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Rick Side and Steve Becerra, the founders of AICMO, American-Israeli Krav Maga Organization. Rick was also the developer of the Fighting Chance programs, which instructing real-life self-defense fighting courses to women, children, senior citizens. You've also taught security and police personnel.
Right.
And where can someone get information about either of these programs, online and phone numbers?
Well, they could visit our website. We're at www.aikmo.com. That's AIKMO.com. And they can call us to our main number, 954-866-8500. In fact, they could schedule a free trial week for themselves, or we can visit their house of worship, their company, their school. We've done private groups. We're here for the community. We really don't care who you are, what your background is. We're here to serve.
You also do programs for Miami-Dade and Broward County Public Schools. Is that correct?
We're actually at we teach on the campuses of several public charter schools as well as private schools in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach.
Okay.
So we have a presence in the Tri-County area.
Okay.
As far south as Coral Gables, as far north as Boca, and, you know, soon even further north. We go where we're needed.
Okay.
I just want to add real quick. I know those that are maybe driving in their car or listening at home or wherever you're listening to this broadcast, you get a little hyped up. You maybe make the phone call, go to the website. There's nothing that gives you a better insight than coming and trying out a class and realizing that you can become a much more effective defender of yourself and your family than trying out a class. And you find that immediately within the first 10 minutes, I can tell you, you will feel empowered and you will realize that anybody can do what we teach.
Yeah, that's so important because I imagine a lot of people would think, oh, I can't do that. So they don't even want to try this kind of program.
And we actually love seeing people walk in with that nervous look on their face.
Yeah.
They said, look, the truth is the whole karate thing kind of scares me, the whole boxing thing. I'm not into that. The truth is, this is not even close to what that is.
Yeah, well, I mean,
why do people carry umbrellas?
Throwing a backpack.
Right. It's just in case. People know how to swim. They're not lifeguards, but you know how to swim in case you fall in, you don't drown.
Right.
You're not across the street. You're not a crossing guard. Learn some Krav Maga so that you can get home safe. And I'm talking to all of you. You know who you are. Your place on the mat is reserved.
And understand also, we're not we are advocates of doing something. MMA is wonderful. It's meant for competition. I have such great respect for what these guys do. But you don't see someone walking into the ring with a gun, knife, or stick.
Right.
We deal with some of the most hostile type of encounters, anti-terrorist, active shooter, which is obviously something that every parent has to be concerned with, not just in schools, but also in their workplace. So we, in our type of training, we have special programs to be able to make you aware. If you're not into the physicality, we have weapon defense training. If a gun is pulled on you, a knife, it's not the same explosive pounding that we take in our regular classes. I hate to use that word pounding because we make sure that we don't compromise
everyone's
your safety.
Everyone's protected, right.
Everyone's
lots
got
of
protection
padding,
and so
yeah.
on and so forth. But nonetheless, if you're engaged in a situation with a gun, you'll realize in the very first moment how quickly we can teach you to disarm that weapon, and it doesn't take a lot of physicality to do so.
You know what I find most gratifying about our job is when you have these people and you have someone who's 5'3", 100 pounds, and they are put into a real vehicle during our – we do a carjacking simulation training. And they're able to take the gun from an assailant and they're able to solve the problem and get home safe to their family. They walk out of that training feeling like a million – you can't erase the smile from their faces. Or you get a child who is now able to escape a locked trunk from the inside or prevent themselves from being – forcefully introduced into a vehicle. These kids go, Mom, did you see what I did? I can do that now.
Yeah.
That's a sense of empowerment and accomplishment that's priceless.
Yeah, you go from theory to you take it out of the realm of theory into practical, real life.
Right.
You can do this. In the classes that you're teaching, I'm going to guess you have two groups of people. There's one group who comes, they want to be proactive, they want to learn before anything happens. And then you have people who are coming because they have been victims.
Sadly.
What's the difference in the emotion that you have in dealing with those people? And do the two interact and, you know, kind of provide information and advice to each other?
Yes.
It can be cathartic. I mean, yeah. We've seen it. We've seen how that being able to revisit an experience that, let's take as an example, rape and sexual assault. A woman who has suffered rape and sexual assault may attend the class and, you know, to the cynic, one would say, well, you know, why now? But the truth is to be able to look at a situation, revisit it, and now have a successful outcome.
Right.
To have to, you know, you can wake up at night and no longer have to, you know, wake up in cold sweats, think about how it happened. Now you can feel you were able to conquer that particular demon. It's very cathartic.
A number of years ago, I had a woman that twice in her life was raped. She would started classes, and there was moments in the class she'd leave crying, usually when we would do stuff on the ground or a knife or a gun. She'd go out and cry, and she'd come back in. One morning she called me and thanking me. I said, why are you thanking me? Says, look, this is what happened to me. I was walking. Somebody grabbed my purse. Just like in class, I turned around instinctively, what we do all the time. I started to fight back. Long and short of it was, she was walking with a coworker. It was at night, and the coworker said the guy had a knife. And I believe she was grabbed by the purse, but I think he was going to, truthfully, I don't think he was going to stick her. I think he was just grabbing
cut the purse. Right.
And run away. But that being said, as he pulled, she didn't know. She turned and responded and started to attack. The guy ran away.
Wow.
And
it comes back to what Steve said. It's
and I said to her, I said, please don't thank me. Remember those mornings, those times we trained and you went out and you cried, but you walked back in.
Resilience.
She said to me, which I'll remember as if it was yesterday, for the first time in some 30 years, I feel whole again.
Oh, God.
It gives me chills even just to talk about it. I can hear her voice, and I'm never going to reveal the name. But, you know, so is it empowering even if you've been in a situation? It's empowering if you've been in a situation or you're afraid of being in that situation.
Right.
We do women's seminars all the time. We're going to have women's seminars upcoming, not just here through the summer. We have a lot of co-eds that are going to be going – or college girls that are going away for the first time or here. It's very important training, critical training, fun learning, and empowering. So when you go back to college, just let your parents breathe a little bit safer.
Okay. You hinted at something a moment ago about a big announcement coming up, and I just with everything you're talking about and explaining what it was like for that woman, there's, in addition to the physical and the empowering, for a lot of people, the emotional trail that follows after being a victim of a situation can go on forever, really. So you now want to go even further with this into making it all about well-being and wholeness.
Ellen, I don't think there's anybody that we don't know in our lives, each and every one of us, that hasn't been touched by somebody that's either under severe depression,
anxiety,
bipolar, self-mutilation. There are numerous different aspects of mental health that's permeating our society right now in our communities. The struggles a family goes through is not just that individual, but the family suffers right along with them. We are going to be embarking and we're finalizing certain details to be able to create Fighting Chance Centers where I found two big problems. The cost of therapy, the cost of treatment is insurmountable for many people. My wife is an occupational therapist, pediatric for years. The insurance would run out and families would go broke just trying to make sure their kids can get through life or not struggle every day.
Right.
The emotional stress on a relationship or a marriage can be insurmountable.
Right.
And these things have affected me for a while. Every time I used to go visit my wife at work, I'd walk out with tears in my eyes seeing these wonderful children with things that, such as cerebral palsy and multiple sclerosis, things that my wife would be doing God's work to make their life a little bit more palatable. And this gives people like myself, Steve, and others that would like to get involved an opportunity to be able to tackle this problem. We're going to be creating Fighting Chance Centers. It's going to have on staff some psychologists, psychiatrists, also fit for physical disabilities and handicaps. We'll be having physical therapists, occupational therapists. We also have a guy that's going to be creating and developing our program. He does so now, the Special Needs Fitness.
Wow.
So these are all programs, and we're going to really reach out to the community, small businesses, to be able to help us by, and I don't say donations. We have a package that we're finishing up and that their
partnerships,
sponsorships, but they're going to get something back in return in the way of advertising, in the way of marketing on our behalf. It's not just money that's going to go to a banner that's laying on a fence alongside a football, mm-hmm. high school football field. They're going to get something in return. They're going to become activists mm-hmm. along with us to be able to make for a better society. If we can get that participation, which is our plan, we're going to make this means testing. If you can't afford the therapy, if you can't afford the treatments, whatever is necessary, whether it be physical or mental, we want to make it zero cost. If you are in a capability of being able to do so, it'll be a nominal fee, which will go into the kitty to be able to pay the salaries of those giving their time to be able to make sure you get appropriate treatment.
And if someone's listening and wants to be part of this bold new adventure and really do some work to help the community long term, how can they reach you?
Well, Fighting Chance Centers will be an offshoot or an umbrella, or I don't know exactly how you want to call it, but through ICMO.
Okay.
And Steve can give you the number again. Well, it's 954. I'll give it. 954-866-8500.
Okay. And the website?
That's www.ikmo.com, AIKMO.com.
Okay. Before we wrap up, I'm just thinking, you know, we talk about how what you're teaching empowers kids, adults, whatever. How does it, specifically with kids, does their schoolwork change?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. Think about your average child. Maybe they have a love for learning. They potentially could academically excel. It's really hard to think about the big test coming up when you're terrified of being shoved into a locker.
Right.
Yeah, when you're having to eat your meals in a bathroom stall, kind of hard to focus on academia, isn't it? So there is no doubt that there's a direct correlation between feeling safe at school and performing academically.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. And just so you know, out of 10 bullied children, nine of them say nothing. They suffer in silence. And out of those nine, and out of those 10, the one that did say something has to go through 7 separate attempts to get an adult's attention so that something will begin, a process of attention to this problem will begin. I mean, hundreds of thousands of kids feign sickness.
Right.
Just so they don't have to go to school that day. They people move towns to escape a bully.
Can I just add to that real quick? It's not just important for us to teach the kids. The parents have to know what to look for. And more importantly, we are using our program to basically educate teachers, administrators, principals, to be able to recognize this. And more importantly, take an active role in preventing it or solving a problem. Because the big problem is a lot of these schools will shy away. They don't want to get involved because of litigation.
No, we praise the schools, such as you know, the Academica family of schools, the Char Schools USA schools, the Imagine Schools. These are some of our schools that I'm proud to say their names on the air, because these are schools who, like the Somerset Schools, these are schools who have said, you know what, we're taking a stand. The Donna Klein Jewish Center, Browser Maimonides, these are schools who have said, we're going to do something for our kids. We're going to bring this training on campus. And parents love it, kids love it, and it just makes for a better learning environment. These schools do a phenomenal job doing that.
Okay. And also you're preventing, you know, they talk about the cycle of violence, and kids who are brought up to experience violence often become abusers themselves. So it's really, it's prevention on so many levels.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. So it's ICMO, American Israeli Krav Maga Organization. The website, AIKMO.com, ICMO.com. The phone number again?
954-866-8500. We hope to hear from you.
Okay. Rick Side, the developer of Fighting Chance Programs and co-founder, along with Steve Becerra, of EICMO. Thank you both so much for sharing your knowledge.
I want to thank you also. You always take a leadership role in the community safety and security, and you know we love you for it.
Thank you so much. We're grateful.
And thank you for listening. This is Easy's Community Focus. I'm Ellen Jaffe. If you have comments or would like to suggest a topic, send me an email at ellen@easy93.com.